fact that the Lord is at hand. And so God help us, may the Lord help us to not be, to exercise moderation in the things of this life that we enjoy. And the Lord has put many things here on this earth for us to enjoy. And I believe that the Lord expects us to, He said, I've come that you have life and have and that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. I think the Lord wants us to enjoy life. And much of that life ought to be used in service for Him. But I think he certainly expects for us to enjoy the life that He has given us and some things that we enjoy in this world. I think that He's put many of those things here for our pleasure. But we are to exercise moderation in those things. So I know, and I'm sure that you know as well, people, sometimes we get consumed in that ourselves, people who are fanatics about different things. Well, that simply means is they're not exercising moderation that the Lord wants them to exercise. And so, and the whole idea of that thing is you need to restrict your life somewhat, because if you begin to live too excessively, the urgency or the fact that the Lord is at hand will escape you. I'll tell you, if we actually lived our life like we really expected the Lord to come tonight, we would have done a lot of things differently today. And so we are encouraged to exercise some moderation because the Lord is at hand. So Paul here, he recommends that we be known for our level-headedness, our grace, or our even keel, or our temperance, if you will, and the Lord is at hand. Now, I'll mention a couple of things here about this, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. It could simply mean that the Lord is near. He'll take care of us. Don't let your moderation get out of hand, thinking that you have to do everything and you have to provide everything and you have to meet everything and you have to make everything all of you. So the Lord's at hand. He'll help you. Praise the Lord for that. And I think it's also, second, I think He's coming is at hand. So you think about this, Paul, as far as he's at hand to near, he's the Lord is at hand to take care of us. Paul is in a prison cell, and yet he is experiencing the nearness of the Lord. And even though he is in prison, the Lord is meeting his needs, and the Lord is caring for him, and the Lord is providing for him, and the Lord is even allowing him the opportunity to write scripture while he's in prison. You know how that is? Because the Lord is at hand. He's near. And also we talk about his coming. Now the Bible says, now look in Philippians chapter 1. His second coming is at hand. Remember in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 20. Or chapter 3, I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse number 20. Just right above where you are. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we're not exercising moderation, I've said it several times already, we're not looking for the Savior. Listen, He could come at any minute. There's nothing else in the Bible that has to be accomplished before Jesus returns for His bride, the church. Now, Miss Kay had mentioned this to me Sunday, and then she brought a sign Sunday afternoon and showed me that was at her grandmother's house. And I read something actually similar to that in Brother Oliver Green's commentary just this week. And this is what it says. It said, go no place we would not like to be found when Jesus comes. Say nothing we would not like to be heard saying when Jesus comes. Do nothing we would not like to be doing when Jesus comes. Boy, that would change the way we lived our lives, wouldn't it? And so why is that important? Because we don't know when He's coming, amen. His coming is at hand. Now look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So there, in verse number 6, there is a prescription for how to pray. There is an instructions, maybe I should say, on how to pray. We should not be praying amiss. And oftentimes we The Lord does not care that we pray repeatedly, but He doesn't want us to pray vain repetitions. And so there is some directions given here for how we are to pray. Now, this is a great prayer promise. He said, be careful for nothing, so don't worry. Take it to God, amen. And when you take it to the Lord, don't bring it back with you. Leave it with the Lord. I'm glad God's able to help us. Now, these two verses, I didn't read verse number 7. I will in just a moment, are not promising that God will take away our problems. But I tell you what these verses are promising. They're promising that God will strengthen us with a supernatural strength, with His grace, amen, in the midst of our problems. I love what the Bible says in Psalm 55. I won't ask you to turn there. I'll just read it to you. In Psalm 55, and verse 22, the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm glad we can cast our burden upon the Lord. He'll take care of us. Now, Paul, there's many prayers in the Bible, recorded prayers in the Bible of the Apostle Paul. And all of Paul's recorded prayers except for one are asking God, or all of all Paul's recorded prayers, I'll get it right in just a moment, only one was asking God for something. That's what God was, he was asking God to take away something. And obviously that's when, and that's the only prayer of his that wasn't answered. He was asking God to remove that thorn. And well, the Lord answered his prayer. He didn't answer the way that Paul wanted answered. And so he has given us an example here of how to pray. First of all, he said, be careful for nothing. Now, the word careful here means to worry or to be anxious. Now, this does not mean that we should not be concerned. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't exercise some concern or care about worldly matters. But it does mean that we should not be anxious about them. Now, there's a vast difference between being concerned about something and being anxious. Now, when we worry, I like this, when we have faith, we do not worry. And when we worry, we do not have faith. And so, let's get really, really quiet in here. Now, he said, so there, here's what he said. Be careful for nothing but. So, when there's an understanding there that, you know, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing but. So, as opposed to worrying, as opposed to being anxious, what do we do instead of that? But in everything. Now, I'm not going to elaborate here, but can I just remind you that the Lord cares about everything? You say, well, that's small. That's insignificant. It's not to the Lord. He said very plainly here in this verse of Scripture, be careful for nothing. Don't be worrying. Don't be anxious about things. And the way you avoid that, the way you overcome that, is in everything. I stump my little toe. That don't matter. My nose is bleeding. That don't matter. It matters to the Lord. And so we can carry those things to the Lord in prayer. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, just briefly, without going into great detail, prayer and supplication are not the same thing. Supplication is when you are deeply burdened about a specific need or a specific situation. You have been moved because of a great need or something that has greatly affected you or someone that is near you, and there is a deep sense of urgency and God has troubled your being. That is supplication. You're agonizing in prayer for God to help. Now, prayer, on the other hand, is more of a general term. And simply, I don't know if I can express this the way I'd like to. For praying when you don't have a particular burden or a particular need, you're just praying because you want to talk to God and you understand that God hears your prayer and that He answers your prayer and He cares about your prayer. Maybe it's just offering things for our food or something of that. There's a difference between supplication and prayer. I know that for several reasons. They're spelled differently, first of all. And they're mentioned separately in the Bible. And there have been times when I have been involved in great supplication, and there's been times when I said a prayer. And so he says, be careful for nothing but in everything. Now listen, I want you to understand this. We define those words, and then we get this idea of one's important and one's not. That's not true. Both are necessary and both are needful. You know how I know that? Because he said, by everything in prayer and supplication. And then he says this, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't miss it. With thanksgiving. Now listen, if you're unthankful with the Lord's provision, you are some kind of messed up spiritually. And I make no apologies for saying that. The reason that Paul encouraged these Philippians to begin their prayers with thanksgiving is if you start your prayer with thanksgiving, you'll soon realize you don't need half of the stuff you intended to ask for. I think we would be amazed if we were to make a list of all the things we have to be thankful for. And if we could get to the place where we said, thank you, God, for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you over here. Thank you over there. Oh, and then thank you for this. And yeah, thank you for that. And oh, yeah, and thank you for that. Pretty soon we would realize that, you know what, I don't really need that. And I don't really need that. And I don't really need that. And I don't because the Lord has already given me. We ought to be thankful. Amen. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now notice what he said. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse number 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding. So here the peace of God is not found in the endless requests. The peace of God is found in endless thanksgiving. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that we have peace with God. The Lord gives us that the moment that we're saved. We're justified. Romans chapter 5 tells us we have peace with God. What a blessing. But the peace of God is something entirely different. And man, we need the peace of God. And so regardless of what may have happened or what burden you're carrying, we can always find something to be thankful for, and we can always find something to praise the Lord for. In fact, Paul, I mentioned the Thessalonians again. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse number 18. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so it's God's will for us to be thankful in some things, and in all things, I should say, and not for all things. Now, I'm not thankful for everything that's happened in my life, but I can be thankful in those things. Here's what I mean. There's tragedies, there's troubles, there's heartaches, there's sorrows, there's burdens. I'm not thankful for those things, but being in those things does not cause me to cease to be thankful, because the Lord has done so much for me outside of what I am in at that time. I would be selfishly inconsiderate of the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the long-suffering of God to allow that trial or that trouble or that situation that I'm in to cause me not to be thankful for the big picture. God has redeemed a soul that is deserving of hell and judgment and the wrath of God. And He's given me life eternal and the peace of God and the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's gone away to prepare me a place that I do not deserve. Amen. So we can be thankful in those things, regardless of those things. And so, can I just tell you, if you are unthankful, it greatly hinders your prayer life. And so may the Lord help us to be thankful. There should never be a time when you're not thankful for something. Now here's the result of that. Verse number 7, look at this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now I wish I had the vocabulary. I wish I was a great enough orator to tell you what that means. the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know what that means? It simply means that the peace of God cannot be understood by mortal man. There's no way that we can, with the vocabulary that we have, with the knowledge that we have, with the understanding that we have, I cannot explain to you the peace of God. It passes human understanding. But I can tell you this, I have experienced it. And I'll tell you what that peace of God will do, and this is important, it will keep your mind. See what it says? The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so it is peace that comes only from God that keeps our hearts and minds. So peace with God, as I've mentioned, comes at the moment of salvation. Peace of God is the reward of right praying and faithfully trusting in His ability to meet our every need and every situation that we face in life. Can I tell you this? Peace of God removes worry and anxiety. When we are anxious, we are not abiding in the peace of God. But when we rest in the peace of God, we are trusting God fully. We are not anxious. Now, come to Isaiah 26, Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. I want to help you. I want to help me. The Lord has helped me tremendously. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 26. Look at verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him, say it with me, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace. Now look how. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now listen, if you truly believe the Bible, this verse will reveal a lot about you and what you really believe. Now, when there is an absence of peace in our lives, our mind is not on the Lord. And therefore, we're not trusting Him. Now, Jesus was speaking with His disciples, and He said in John 14, 27, He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So there is a peace that comes from the Lord that the world cannot give. It is a peace that money cannot buy. It is a peace that position and social status cannot attain. It is peace that comes only from God, and it is a comfort that comes only from the Lord. Over and over in the Bible, peace is associated with the condition of the heart and the mind. Now, you know, these verses, we won't go there. There's two verses that are very similar, Isaiah 48, 22 and Isaiah 57, 21. One says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And the other says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And so the peace that keeps our hearts and mind through Christ, the Lord is concerned with our mind. The Lord is concerned with our thought life. In fact, listen, come to, let me just do this. If we think right, there is a greater possibility of us doing right. And the Lord is concerned about our mind. Now, I'll tell you, there is a battle for your mind. The cares of the world is in a battle for your mind. The entertainment industry of the world is in a battle for your mind. The Hollywood industry, the music industry, they're all in a battle for your mind. And the Lord wants us to keep our mind stayed upon Him. In fact, I don't know that we're going to get there tonight. We might. But in verse number 8, He said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are." And He lists 8 things. Those are things that we are to think upon. But I wonder, if we were honest with ourselves, how long has it been since we thought on any of those 8 things? And so if we think right, there is a greater possibility of us doing right. Let's look at the verse. Let's look at the verse. Verse number 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, listen, here is a very simple but extremely important question. What are you thinking about? Now, the entirety of our life primarily consists of two things: thinking and doing. And most likely, you're going to wind up doing what you're thinking. And so the Lord wants to get our mind right. Now, we got to get our heart right. I understand that. But right now, we're talking about your mind. Can I tell you, the minds, and I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about saved people. The minds of an overwhelmingly large amount of people who know the Lord as their Savior is in the gutter. It is not thinking on things that the Lord said, look, you want the peace of God, you want to be without worry, you want to be without anxiety, you want to experience peace with God, the peace of God, then get your head on straight. Now, notice that Paul does not name negative or evil thoughts. He draws attention only to the positives. He mentions 8 things which the mind may concentrate on, may think upon, and it will not hurt us or damage our spiritual well-being at all. In fact, it will help us. Here, the mentality of most people, I say children and teens, the parents, I don't know, I'm making an assumption, but not really. I know I was a child once and I raised children, and now I have grandchildren. So I actually have some experience in that. Sometimes give direction, instruction, or command, and their response will be, well, what's wrong with it? Whatever it is. The way to answer that, or a better way to deal with that, is what's right with it. Their idea is, well, what's wrong with it? A good return question is, well, what's right with it? And here we have that right here in the Bible. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it of good report? Well, if we answer honestly to that list of questions in the Bible, there's a lot of things in our lives we're going to have to cut out. The news. Not much honesty in that. Television. Not much purity in that. Lovely. Just. Your list of things is getting smaller and smaller, aren't they? You see how come our mind is so cluttered and our lives are so full of anxiety and worry? Because our minds are consumed by things that are in opposition to what the Lord said to us to keep our minds stayed on. Now, a lot of our worry and fears, verse number 6, be careful for none, is because we listen to the wrong things, we watch the wrong things, we hear the wrong things, we say the wrong things, we do the wrong things. And Paul said we'd have a whole lot less trouble and a whole lot less heartache if we just spent our time listening to the right things. May the Lord help us. Now, listen, before we move on to the next verse, I want to get through verse number 9. We can start in verse number 10. It sort of starts a new thought. But before we move on to the next verse, I want to repeat this list of things to keep your mind on one more time. Listen, tomorrow, tonight, this afternoon, whatever the case, your mind starts wandering to things that are causing you to be angry, discouraged, upset, depressed, anxious. Start thinking about that which is true. Thy word is truth. Think about that which is honest, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Listen, God is well able to give you peace in any turmoil, but there certainly ain't no need for us to add more turmoil to our own lives. And oftentimes, our problems are self-inflicted and unnecessary. Now look at this, verse number 9, and I'll stop here. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Remember what ago? I said they're almost the basics of life consist of primarily two things, thinking and doing. And so he has given us a whole list of things to think on. And then Paul uses himself as an example. What a great testimony. And he said, do those, and the God of peace shall be with you. So listen, Paul had no qualms about holding up his own life as an example of how others to live. In fact, I think I mentioned this the other day in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, wouldn't it be a tremendous blessing to be such a consistent, faithful Christian that we could encourage everybody, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I don't think that's unreasonable. You know what that's doing? That is living our lives in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord. That's letting our moderation be known to all men. Now, Paul was not satisfied with folks just being saved, amen. He wanted them to learn. He said, the things that you've both learned and received and seen in me, the God of peace shall be with you. Listen, we ought to have a desire to, so many, I don't know who's saved and who isn't saved. I know I'm saved. I hope all you are. If you're not saved, you can be saved. But the Lord doesn't want us to just get saved. We got to get saved to go to heaven. I understand that. We got to get saved to spend eternity with the Lord. But if all the Lord wanted us to do was get saved, He'd have took us to heaven the moment He saved us. He has given us a life to live, and He wants us to live that life for Him. So there's some things that we need to learn, and there's some things that we need to hear, and there's some things that we need to receive, and then we need to do those things. I tell you, the book of James, now look, I'll make you feel better. I'm closing. James talks about us not just being hearers of the Word, but being doers of the Word also. Can I tell you what American, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, King James only, premillennial, you get your whole list laid out. I'll tell you what we're good at. Hearing preaching, a lot of it, and doing little to none of it. Lord, help us. Father, thank you for the Bible. And thank you, Lord, for helping us. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is available when we keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon you and those things which you have described and laid out for us in your Word. And then we do those things that we have heard and learned and seen. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord.